I am patient for principle. I am patient for principle. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. I am patient for principle. We all like to use principle. We all say we like to use principle. We all use principle all the time, whether we like it or not. But when we like to use principle and when we are patient with principle, we find that principle always works. If you take one drop of ink and put it in a glass of water, you mess it up thoroughly, don't you? If you take one thought that says, I can't, you mess it up thoroughly. We mess up all of the wonderful things that we have in life by doubting, by for 1 minute thinking a negative thought about it. Now, why would anyone think a negative thought about anything? Well, you say, I can play the piano, and you can't. And so you blinker away. And so you decide to listen within and intuitively play the piano, and so then you just play for your own pleasure, your own delight. And as you do that, you play better and better, and as you keep playing for your own delight and stay with the principle of playing for your own delight, pretty soon you'll find that you play very well. Now, you may not have the repertoire of other people. You may not have the repertoire of many songs that are currently being played, but you have your own music, and you play for yourself. Now, when you're being yourself and having fun, that's the greatest joy you could have in life. But are you willing to be patient and be yourself and have fun, and really be yourself and have fun? When you say, I have ideal complexion, do you have the patience to keep saying that and keep knowing that and just keep living that and keep having the attitude that you have ideal complexion, and pretty soon you have ideal complexion? But when there's any doubts, when you go to your doctor and he tells you that you have a problem and you believe him, then, of course, you have a problem. And then you just carry it out. Because the doctor's enthusiasm and the doctor's awareness and the doctor's knowledge is much greater than yours. It's much greater than yours, which says to yourself, I like me. Which says to yourself, I have the ideal complexion. Now, can you say that? Can you really say that? Can you really believe that? Can you really live that? Or are you going to go around always listening to somebody else? And unfortunately, we go around listening to somebody else. All of our lives, we've gone around listening to somebody else and listening to what somebody else thinks about principle, what somebody else thinks about the law. Now, you say to a person, you'll never drive. You can't drive a car. You don't know how to drive a car. You never will drive. And the person just assumes that you know what you're talking about, and they never try to drive. They never apply themselves to driving. And then they're out with a friend, and all of a sudden, the friend has a heart attack. They have to get the friend to the hospital. And so they have to drive the car to get the friend to the hospital. Now, they know enough basics about it to put the key in the ignition and turn it on and put it in gear. And they know enough maybe to get it in even high gear. But the thing is, they stay on the road. They know they should stay on the road. They know that they should drive on the right or the left, depending upon what country they're in. They know these fundamental things, which they hadn't paid attention to, and they didn't think they knew. And by the time they get their friend to the hospital, and rather rapidly, they know how to drive. They're driving where they were told they couldn't drive. And so then they go and tell their friends, I drove my friend to the hospital, and I drove them all the way. And I don't have a license, I don't have anything, but I had to do it. I had to do it, or else he would die. And they say, oh, you didn't drive. Surely you didn't drive. And pretty soon you start thinking about your incapacity to drive, and you cannot drive again. You just back off into the old framework, the old attitude, you go contrary to principle, and you go contrary to what you say. Now, the principle is not right and wrong. The principle says, I cannot drive, and you cannot drive. The principle says, I can drive, and you can drive. How can the principle work for two things because it depends on what attitude you're putting in your mind about it. What application are you putting in for the principle? Now, everyone knows who sails a boat that you can sail a boat into the wind. You sail a boat into the wind, and that is totally stupid. Who could sail a boat into the wind? The wind is pushing the boat away, and you can't sail into it. But if you set your sails just right, if you're a good seaman, you know how to set your sails just right so that going into the wind is causing you to go where you want to go. And you steer your boat, and you go where you want to go. And you can go totally contrary to the wind because you're using another principle. The principle of sailing into the wind, which can be done and is done all the time. Now, when children say to their friends, "I hate you, I don't ever want to see you again, I hate you, I don't like you, I don't want to see you again," and the parents respond to that as a categorical thing, then the parents are putting a problem in the way of the child. When the parents just say all is in divine order and let the children play, and if the children says, "I don't like you, I hate you, I hate you," let it be, let it be. Because 10 minutes later, the two are going to be the best buddies again, and you wonder, how did that happen? They hated each other. How did that happen? Well, you got your big bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circus. You got out of the way of listening to something and judging it and saying that that's how it is. When we have the patience to let principle work, principle can work very wonderfully for us. And when you say all is in divine order, that's letting principle work. That's patience. When you say I like me, that's patience. Even when things are not going well for you, even when the world is all uptight for you, and even though all sorts of things are knocking you around, and you say all is in divine order. You got to be like that parent. Get your nose out of the children's fights and their misunderstandings. They get balanced. They balance. And like life balances. All falls into perfect divine order when we stop recalling all of the negative things. If we recall all the negative things, we can't drive, we can't drive, we can't drive, we never did drive, we can't drive, and then time comes, you have to drive. What are you going to do? Sit there and say, "Well, friend, I can't drive, so you got to just die." No way. You're going to say, "I'm going to do my best to get you help." And you don't think you can't drive. You think, how does this work? You see, for the first time you thought, how does this work? Not, I can't drive. And then, all of a sudden, you're driving. All of a sudden, you're doing things that are seemingly impossible because you have the patience to put principle to work. And the patience sometimes is expedient. Sometimes it's expedience that causes you to put the principle to work and to drive when you have never driven and said you can't drive. Or when the children are fighting and say, "I hate you, I hate you, I hate you," and you let them alone. And after a while, they both come in, "Can we have some ice cream?" You know? What are you doing in the house? You're supposed to be playing outside. "Well, we had to come get some toys because Jimmy didn't have toys." "Well, I thought you hated him." No, what are you talking about hating him? You see, they're like a dog. A dog does something wrong, and you say, "No." And so the dog stops. And I like what Cesar Milan said. He said, "The dog is on the leash, and the leash directs the dog. And if the dog can't do what it wants to do, it blames the leash, not the person holding the leash." And you have to let the dog love the leash, enjoy the leash, delight in the leash, because then he'll go get the leash because he wants to go for a walk. He'll lick the leash. He'll carry the leash around. He'll pick it up and he'll carry it like a toy because he finds the leash means that he goes for a walk. When he has that leash on him, he's going for a walk. When he has that leash on him, that means they're going to go in the car and they're going to take a ride. And this is the symbols that come out of life. And when we understand those symbols, then we don't think that the leash is an inhibitor for the dog, but the leash is a revealer and a releaser. Actually, and I say this to myself very often, If I were to keep Rex on the leash all the time, he'd be perfectly happy. He'd be perfectly happy on the leash all the time, going to and from the houses here, going out on our walk, doing anything. I think he wants to go running in the field. I think he wants to go doing this and that. I think it's his nature to go out and chase rabbits and do these things. And I sometimes am very slow to wake up. I'm walking down the path with Rex. He's right by my side. And not more than 3 or 4 feet from us, a little bunny rabbit comes out of the bushes and looks over at Rex and says, "Whoops!" And he turns around and runs back in the bushes. And Rex doesn't even chase him. Now, if Rex wanted to, he could catch that rabbit. Rex catches mice in the house. He smells the mice, and he finds them, and he gets them. And he doesn't kill them, but he takes these mice and carries them around because he's a true retriever. And he likes to do that. But I say, "Rex, put it down." And he puts it down and lets me pick it up. And he doesn't say, "You're taking my mouse. You're taking my toy. You drop it." He doesn't say such. That's us. That's our silly thinking. That's our going against what we know principle is. The principle is the dog wants to do what the dog wants to do, but the dog wants to do what we want the dog to do. The dog is our pet. Why do you think some families have mad, unhappy, indecent children? Why do you think so? Because the parents are that way. You say, "Well, the parents don't act that way." Yes, but they allow their children to act that way. They allow that type of attitude to be in their home. They allow that type of attitude to be in their family. And because they allow that attitude, they foster it. And that's why there are children who have bad habits in this world. That's why there are husbands or wives who have bad habits, because their husband or wife has trained them in bad habits. No, don't help me. You just go sit down and read the newspaper. Don't help me. You go do this. Don't help me. And let each other help each other. When someone wants to come out and help, don't say, "This is my kitchen. Get out of here. Let me alone. Don't bother me." Say, "Welcome." When the little children come in the kitchen, don't say, "Get out of here." Say, "Yes, you can come and help. Now, this is how we put the salt on the eggs. This is how we do these various things." And pretty soon, children can do it beautifully. We watch the show Andy Griffith, and Andy doesn't know how to clean his house. He doesn't know how to wash dishes. He doesn't know how to cook food. He doesn't know how. And yet, down in his sheriff's house, in his sheriff's department, it's always orderly. Everything is put in its place. Everything is cleaned up, and he makes the beds, and he goes and cleans everything up, and he sweeps the floor, and he has every employee sleep the floor and do things good. And yet at his home, he leaves it a mess because Aunt Bee always did it. Now, that's a nonsensical attitude, and it's a nonsensical thing to teach. And he's teaching his son to have a dirty room. When Aunt Bee is not around, he can leave his bed unmade. When she's around, then he has to make his bed. Well, now, that's a very tragic thing for that youngster. If it were in real life, if that youngster were that way, he'd grow up to be a very unhappy person. He'd be unhappy because he doesn't get his own way. And in the show, they show different things of how children try to do that and how they are worked with. But it should be done in all things, in all things. You say, "Well, my goodness, to have the perfect family, to have the perfect..." That's living with by principle, with patience. Because you say to the child, "You're wonderful. You do everything good. You're fantastic." And you keep saying that, and you keep saying that, and you believe it. And you get the result. You keep practicing on the piano. You may not play musical pieces, but you play well by ear. You keep trying to drive the car out of necessity, and you'll drive it. And it's better even if you were to train yourself. It's just like Gertrude Suter all her life. School was nearby, and she could walk or ride her bike. And she loved riding her bike, and she never had to drive a car, and she never wanted to drive a car. She always had children who would drive her when she needed it, or people who would drive her. And then one day she got a car, and she learned how to drive it. And she found that this was the most glorious thing in the world. She had freedom now to extend her boundaries far beyond anything she dreamed before. But she always told herself she didn't like to drive and she didn't drive. And then once she started really driving, she found she was a genius. She was fantastic. She drove beautifully, and she drove beautifully all the time. And this is true for all of us. Once we stop getting in our own way and say, all is in divine order, and say, yes, I can, and say, I have the patience to keep saying, yes, I can, while I'm getting used to the idea that I can. And then pretty soon, there I go, driving beautifully, playing the piano, raising children beautifully, having everything in my life wonderful. But you see, people like me, you hate, because I tell you about that. And because I tell you that a little patience, it'll work, it'll work. And you say, heal me, you heal me. And I say, no, no. While it's easy to do, if you do not heal yourself, you'll always need someone else to heal you. So I teach you how to heal yourself. Patience, principle, and it works. So this day, let your life be more beautiful, more wonderful, more fantastic, more glorious than you ever had before, because you have the patience to apply principle in your life for the end result that is most desirable to you. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.